Hi, I'm Perry, and this is Chemist Corner. Hello, and welcome to Chemist Corner, the program dedicated to helping you become a better creator of cosmetic products. I'm Perry Romanowski. This is day 6 of our series, 30 Days to Become a Better Cosmetic Chemist. In today's episode, we are going to focus on your career and specifically the non-formulation skills that will help you advance your cosmetic science career. I know this is a cosmetic science podcast, and for the most part, we'll be focusing on the science side of creating cosmetic products. However, many of the people in this audience are aspiring cosmetic chemists, or they are already formulators in the industry, and that means they already do or probably will be working for someone. And if you're like most people, you're going to want to advance in your career. If you want to succeed in the cosmetic industry, it typically requires more than knowing raw materials and being a brilliant formulator. Success in any company will also require a general knowledge of business and, perhaps most importantly, good people skills. In today's show, we're going to go over 5 of the most useful non-science-based skills that every cosmetic scientist should spend time developing. You won't be able to do your best work if you're unsatisfied with your job and career. All right, let me get started here. Number 1, getting along with all people. As far as career success goes, there is nothing, and I repeat, nothing more important than learning how to deal with other people. In truth, the people who succeed best at a job, even cosmetic formulating lab jobs, they're the ones who know how to get along with as many different people as possible. This means you do everything in your power to avoid making enemies with anyone at your company. I know there will be plenty of people that you may not like, but never let that be known. Don't even tell coworkers with whom you are friends. The best thing you can do for your career is to actually get along with everyone you work with. Never let anyone know that you don't like them. The better you get along with people, the more likely you will be to succeed at your job. Now, this is not the kind of thing you learn in science classes, but it is a lesson that everyone should learn. Of course, getting along with everyone is much easier said than done, as sometimes you just naturally clash with certain coworkers. Some people are lucky to be blessed with the natural ability to do this. I was okay at it, but I got much better when I started following these 2 general principles. First, never complain. The truth is that no one wants to hear your complaints. It makes you less likable and harder to get along with. Certainly, your complaints are probably valid, but ultimately, complaining to people, especially if those complaints can get back to your boss, is just not a good idea. Better is to figure out a way to fix the thing you are complaining about and work to institute your idea. Do what you can to make things better rather than complaining about the way things are. For example, when I was working in the lab, we only had a couple of mixers, and my department was not really inclined to get more. I had to share mixers often with my other lab partner, and who had worked at the company much longer than me, and she just assumed that her projects got priority. Now, rather than complain to my boss, I talked to the manager of another group and was able to borrow their spare mixer when I needed it. This had the dual benefit of me avoiding conflict with my coworker and improving my relationship with a manager outside of my particular lab group. Eventually, I went on to work with this other manager, and it was great for my career. Another tip is to never criticize anyone. Even if you're right, criticizing someone will not be appreciated. It will make your job more difficult. It will make you less likable and can hamper your career development. Nobody, and I mean nobody, wants to be criticized. Even if they agree with you and your criticism is correct, they won't likely be able to fix the thing for which you criticize them. So don't do it. I know it can be difficult to avoid criticisms, but do the best you can never to make one. But if you do have to criticize someone, and sometimes it's not avoidable, Be sure to start with a compliment before you give them the bad news. This has the effect of making a criticism more palatable and more likely that it will help to fix the behavior in the future. And also, don't be insincere about your compliment either. Start with a genuine compliment. The classic book, How to Win Friends and Influence People, is an excellent primer on the topic of getting along with other people. I know it's a bit old-fashioned, but it really is the best book that I've found on the subject. It is filled with useful, practical advice about getting along with people. I recommend it to everybody, really. Or, you know, read it or listen to it, but somehow get the information. Audiobooks are actually a great thing to listen to while you commute to work. The second non-science skill you need to master to advance your cosmetic industry career is figuring out how to motivate people to do things that you need to get done. Now, it's inevitable that when you work at a company, or even for yourself for that matter, you will not be able to get everything you need to do done by yourself. You will not have the skills or the knowledge or the equipment or even the time to do everything yourself. No one can do everything they need to get done. And that means you'll have to work with other people in your company to make things happen. So you'll have to learn how to motivate people to do things for you. Often, you will not be in a position to give them any kind of reward as motivation either. And certainly, if you are new in your career, you also won't have any managerial influence over them. Fortunately, there are ways to get people to do things even when there is no obvious reason that they should. The book I mentioned previously has some great information about motivating people, and there are a number of other sources on the internet that give proven tips. But the most basic idea is that before you ask someone to do something for you, you should figure out what they want first. Ask questions. Be generally interested in what they say and what they want. If there is a way that you can help them get what they want, offer that up. And do that with no strings attached. People appreciate those that can help them get what they want. And when you help them get what they want, they will be much more likely to help you out. There is this principle called the law of reciprocity, in which you do something for a person, then they are more apt to want to do something for you in a way of repayment or something. Again, this isn't the kind of thing you're going to learn about in college science courses, or really any college course for that matter, but this is the kind of knowledge and skills that you need to develop to thrive in a career in the cosmetic industry, or really any kind of industry. Remember, thinking about what other people want and doing what you can to help them get that will take you a long way towards getting the things that you want done. All right, the third and most important skill to develop is clear, succinct writing. As a formulator, you will have numerous instances in which you will need to communicate with other people in your company. You'll have to tell them about experimental findings, the status of your projects, and hundreds of other daily emails and messages that crop up. While the phone used to be the primary way to communicate in business, it has largely been replaced by email and text messaging. That's why it is critical for you to learn how to craft a useful email that gets right to the point. People don't have time to read a rambling message or a block of long text. You need to develop the skills to communicate your messages in a short number of words. Make emails as long as they need to be, but no longer. People probably won't read them all the way through anyways, so get the most important stuff up front. And only send messages to people when you really need to send them a message. Face-to-face communication is usually better than written communication, so if there is a quick question that you have, go talk to the person. Don't send an email. However, if you are going to send an email, as you often have to, I recommend you follow a format that has worked well for me ever since I learned it. I learned the method actually at an all-day seminar that we had at work, proving that some of those all-day seminars are not completely a waste of time. All right, well, here is the secret formula for writing a good business email. You follow the acronym MADE, M-A-D-E. It's an acronym for Message, Action, Details, and Enclosures. So in the first part of your email, you should write your core message. It should answer the question, why are you writing this email? This should be short and to the point. For example, if you are submitting a project status update to your manager, your opening line can be something like, "Hello, manager. Here is an update on the project that you asked about." Very simple and direct. Whoever is reading it will know exactly what to expect in the rest of the email. The next part of your email should be the action. This tells the person exactly what you want them to do after reading this email, which means you should always have an action in mind when you're writing an email. So to continue our example with your monthly report, the next sentence in your email could be something like this. Please review the report and let me know if you have any comments or questions. It's pretty straightforward and gets to the crux of the matter very quickly. Remember, you should always have an action step that you want your reader to do with any email that you ever send. The next part of the email is the detail part. Here, you can give any kind of relevant information that will help set the context of your message or explain any gaps or whatever. For a monthly report email like this, you could say something like, "This report covers the work that I did on Project X from the date of then and now. We are making significant progress towards finishing our developments and we don't anticipate problems. All the information you need is in the attached report." You can put as much information in the detail section as you want, but stick with the five W's: who, what, where, when, and why, and maybe how and how much. But remember, keep it short. No one wants to read long emails. Finally, the last part of the acronym is enclosures. And these are just more detailed attachments that go along with the full email. Sometimes you'll have an enclosure and sometimes you won't. In the case of a project update, you can certainly have a much more detailed report attached to the email. So follow this system and get good at writing in a clear and concise manner. It will do more for your job performance than most any other communication skill you can develop. The fourth non-formulating skill you should work on is developing a knowledge of the cosmetic industry. While having a thorough knowledge of formulating is great, it is not much use if you don't know anything else about the cosmetic industry. You need to become an expert not only on the raw materials, but also in the different brands and products against which your company competes. You should be looked at as an expert on the cosmetic industry, not just the science. Pay attention to the advertising campaigns of your competitors. Become familiar with the top cosmetic companies and become familiar with the top brands. Look at the formulas they make and the technologies that they use. You want to become an expert in the industry, so follow beauty blogs and beauty trends. Read the industry trade journals and consumer magazines that are dedicated to the beauty industry. Follow websites like GCI and Cosmetics Design and Happy. Keep up to date by following cosmetic industry people on Twitter. There is a ton of information out there that is free and readily available. Become a resource for your company on all things related to your industry. Read as much as you can and make sure people know that you know about the industry. This will make you a much more valuable employee and will be beneficial to your career growth. The final skill we will cover in today's show is networking. As we said before, you can't do everything alone, so it's helpful to gather a group of contacts with expertise in the things that you can't or don't know how to do. Building a useful network of people will make you more productive and successful. It can also ensure that you'll never be out of work. First, let's talk about how a network can help you get things done. There are a number of things that cosmetic chemists need done that aren't always easy to do. And some things are not even your job. For example, you often need to get samples of raw materials. This can be made much easier if you have a reliable network of relationships with the raw material supplier community. So when a salesperson asks you to lunch, take them up on that offer. Build relationships with as many raw material companies as you can. It will only help make getting samples and information much easier. You can also get these suppliers to do other things like conduct performance tests or do microbial tests. Having a network of suppliers is extremely helpful. You can also expand beyond raw material suppliers. You should have a contact for things like lab supplies, equipment, and packaging. Also, develop contacts for product testing houses. You often need to farm out your product testing, and having a relationship with a few testing houses will be extremely useful. An excellent way to find and develop these relationships is to go to industry trade shows and meet representatives from the various companies that service the cosmetic industry. They want to meet you just as much as you want to meet them. Remember, in a networking relationships, both parties should benefit from the relationship. You are able to get information and sample more quickly. In turn, they have a chance to make a sale. Whenever you are networking, try to develop a win-win situation. Another reason to develop a solid network of industry relationships is that you must know that ultimately you work for yourself. Now, some company may give you a paycheck every couple of weeks, but a cosmetic chemist cannot rely on that company to always be around. In fact, the company I worked for over 16 years is gone. It's just disappeared. They were bought by Unilever, and subsequently, they were shut down after a few years. While the management insisted the likelihood of the company being sold was very low, it happened, and it happens a lot in the cosmetic industry. This is another reason you need to develop a network of relationships in the industry. It is much more likely that you get another job or another opportunity through someone you know than through any other method. People in your network will think of you whenever they hear of opportunities that might not even be publicized. I know a number of my friends who are in jobs right now because of a networking relationship. They got these jobs that were not even advertised as open. To ensure that you aren't caught scrambling for a new job if your company ever gets sold, or you don't get along with your boss and your job is just, quote, job eliminated, unquote, you need to build a network of individuals in the industry to help you out. Joining groups like the Society of Cosmetic Chemists, the American Chemical Society, or even your local International Federation of Society of Cosmetic Chemists is a great way to meet people and develop your network. Going to trade shows and industry shows is another great way, as is using websites like LinkedIn.com. In a future episode, we are going to focus specifically on developing your online profile, and LinkedIn will certainly be part of that discussion. As an aside, you should also print have business cards, which has your phone number and email and a way to contact you. It's important to be able to hand business cards out at these trade shows and to communicate with people that way. So there you have it. I hope you now know that there is definitely more to being a successful cosmetic chemist than just learning how to formulate. Spend some time focusing on developing these skills, and you'll be on your way to becoming a much more successful and better cosmetic chemist. Today's challenge. For today's challenge, you're going to have to do a little planning. We covered 5 different skills, but we'll just focus on one that is the easiest to get started with and will really help any cosmetic scientist in their career. Essentially, what I want you to do is to start developing your network of industry relationships. And the main way for you to do this is to find an industry event. Go to the event and make it a point to interact and collect business cards or contact information from as many people as you can. For the cosmetic industry, you can find events located near you by going to the website of the local chapter of the Society of Cosmetic Chemists, or Society of Cosmetic Scientists, as they call it in the UK. Find a meeting or trade show or some other event that you can attend in person. Be sure you have a good supply of business cards that have your company name, phone number, and email on it. This should have all the information anyone would need to get connected or otherwise contact you. If you have social media accounts like Twitter or LinkedIn, be sure to include that information on your business card as well. When you get to the meeting, interact. For some people, this is easy. For others, it's not so easy. You have to figure out something to talk about, which can sometimes be a challenge. But the best thing you can do is ask questions. Get the other person talking as much as you can. Ask who they work for, what they do, where they're from, what they're interested in, and anything else that you can think of. Remember, you should not be the one dominating the conversation. I laugh at myself now when I think of how I was when I was younger. Whenever I walked into a room, I usually thought I was the most interesting person there. And this is a terrible way to meet people and network. You may have the most interesting stories and experiences, but people don't really care. Reality is they don't. Most people want to talk about their experiences and their concerns, and they like people who ask about their experiences and concerns. They want to share their stories, and they want an audience of interested people to tell them to. So when you're at these events, ask a lot more questions than telling your own stories. Perhaps the most important question you can ask is to find out what the person's biggest challenge is. Figure out what they are having the hardest time doing. Ideally, this will be some work issue since this is an industry event, but it might not be. Make it a point to remember what that is. You know, write it down on their card if you have to, and think about how you might be able to help them accomplish or solve whatever problem they're experiencing. Even if you can't personally solve the problem, it would be helpful if you could connect them with someone who can. So that's your challenge. Find an industry event, go to that event, and begin creating your network by interacting with as many people as you can, collecting as many business cards as you can, and learning from as many people as you can what their biggest problems they are facing right now is and how you might be able to help them. If you start building or expanding your network now, you'll be in a much better position for whenever you need to reach out to someone for help in the future. Well, that's today's program. Thanks so much for listening. In tomorrow's program, we're going to get back to cosmetic science and specifically cover the topic of the biology of hair. We did skin in an earlier program, and now we're going to cover hair. If you have found this series helpful, please go to the comments section in the show notes and leave a comment. Also, be sure to share it with your friends and colleagues. Don't forget to subscribe to us on iTunes or any other podcast playing service you use. Also, be sure to give us a review on iTunes. This helps immensely, and it'll help other people find the show, and you can let people know whether you appreciate the information or not. If you've found these podcasts helpful, please share them with anyone else who you know might be interested. You can follow us on Twitter, we're at Chemist Corner, and like us on Facebook. Additionally, we have a cosmetic science forum that I encourage everyone to sign up for and to use. You can participate in discussions about cosmetic science and formulating. You can get lots of your questions answered there. Just go to the show notes and click the link that I have there. It's at chemistcorner.com/cosmeticsciencetalk. Thanks again for listening. I'm Perry Romanowski. Now, go make a difference.